I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, everybody. This is Archie's Hey Fam. Enjoy your morning.
Hey fam, welcome to Hey Fam. My name is Levins.
My name is Angus.
I was trying to time it so you had bread in your mouth.
I'm just carb-loading right now. This is the workout episode.
Actually, it's a Power Rangers episode, Angus, because Angus and I saw Power Rangers tonight. Mm-hmm. The premiere, the Sydney premiere. We saw it
an hour ago.
Yeah, and we came fresh off the train to come and talk to you about Power Rangers.
Yeah, normally our reaction episodes are tied to franchises which, you know, Levins and I hold dear to our hearts. Your Star Warses, your Marvel Cinematic Universes, your DC, for a lack of better
Everything we've talked about in the past, we've been somewhat more invested in than Power Rangers.
Let's just say that the word Power Rangers was never uttered.
In your household?
In our manifesto, when you and I sat down, cut our palm of our hands open and wrote in our own blood what Hey Fam was going
to
be.
Yeah, we made our oath there to the Dark
Prince.
There was
Entourage references, which we'll grow tired of in a few episodes, and we did. There was having guests, which immediately we tired of, and Power Rangers was nowhere there.
Yeah, and then we also made a pact that we would never record in a sports bar. Look what happened. I promise I will never record a podcast in a sports bar 4 beers later.
I just said, like, I don't mind the sports bar. I'm just definitely not doing it if there's any type of, I guess, hedonistic banquet pun.
Banquet time.
10 beers later.
Coming soon, everybody. The Hey Fam banquet episode.
You keep asking for it. You keep asking for it. We're going to do it.
We are going to do it.
We have to do it.
But first, we're going to review the Power Rangers movie. Angus, so you had very little exposure to the Power Rangers.
Like we've both spoken about, we played the Super Nintendo game.
I love that game. I don't know if it still holds up, but I also watched a bunch of the episodes, I guess, on television. I think it started, I don't even, couldn't even tell
it's
you
like
what.
It's like 94, I think, in Australia.
Yeah, so that was like peak age of me just watching whatever the fuck was on whenever a television was on. And I'm sure Power Rangers was on a few times. Was it part of Cheese TV's block?
No, it was in the afternoons.
Right.
Mm. What I remember is being a loyalist Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan, coming back from school holidays.
A loyalist.
Like a loyal teenage... Like, oh, I was loyal. A loyalist.
Loyalist. I think you said, like, you were loyalist. Like,
no,
you, like
no, didn't no. Have a lawyer. I was lawless. I was loyalist.
You were Lucy Lawless.
I lost my lawyer. He refused to represent me anymore, but I was a Ninja Turtles fan. No, I was a complete Ninja Turtle faithful, so much so that, you know, you stepped into my room. It was nunchucks everywhere. Primary colored head bandanas, and yeah, I love them. And then
just feet all over, there's big footprints,
big
all
footprints,
over the wall.
Clear as cell, wet dreams.
Changed your middle name to Cowabunga.
Yeah, I was obsessed, and I came back from school holidays, and all of a sudden, everybody who was, you know, come to school with their super, their Ninja Turtle pencil cases and backpacks, everything was Power Rangers.
I don't think anyone in my year when I was in high school, or sorry, primary school, was
this
it.
What, way like, older than me, everyone knows.
You're older than me, Angus. Mm. Don't lie. Don't change the canon.
This I am, far aren't
I? Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
A few months.
A few months. But we're both 50. Mm. But yeah, a few, I don't think any kids in my actual grade were Power Rangers fans, but I definitely, you know, younger kids, it was a big part of it.
I just remember being like, you fickle freaks.
Yeah, right.
I got this Ninja Turtle back tattoo. We said we'd ride or die together, and now you're just a Power Rangers fan. Like, it took me by surprise, and I remember watching it, even as a young kid, I noticed, you know, Ninja Turtles was cartoon, but it looked like cartoons then. Power Rangers just looked so unbelievably cheap to me. to the point where I was such a weird, obsessive child that I kind of figured that, and later found this was true, that, you know, the outside scenes and the inside scenes, as in, you know, the scenes where the people are out of the uniforms versus the action scenes outside, were completely different countries and filmed on completely different film stock, and were, like, it looked so jarringly different. And, you know, which I later found that this, the power, Saban's Power Rangers was based off a Japanese show. I don't know the details because I'm not a crazy fan, but the American show actually just took footage from this existing show where Japanese actors played these characters in suits and
fought big monsters.
And, you know, that's why the villain Rita was dubbed in there, and it was just never explained. It was amazing, and it's incredibly smart.
Yeah, I think the cheapness of it was, like, you know, for, when I was slightly older when it came out, so I think the appeal lay in,
like, you were watching it for the how bad it looked.
Yeah, I guess so. But I remember being, like, pretty invested in the story, kind of. Like, the Tommy, the Green Ranger, when he became the White Ranger, I remember that being, like, real cool. And then he had, like, his little dagger that he could summon.
He could play as a flute and, yeah, like, the and Brachiosaurus thing.
His sword was mad.
It was a Brachiosaurus, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It came out of the lake with the... Yeah, I guess, you know, like,
I think the melody was like, do, 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 do.
It was great. And you just sit there and play this little, like, yeah.
It was the OG ocarina.
It seriously was. It was kind of, and, you know, from a merchandising standpoint, it was great.
Fucking A.
You connected all these things. I mean, it was essentially a ripoff of Voltron, but...
My cousin had the Megazord toy.
My cousin did too. Was he older or younger?
Younger than me.
Same here.
Maybe that's why I watched so much Power Rangers. I was very close with my cousin.
And
shouts to Patrick Levins.
Shouts to Mitchell Grice. I was just like, never watching it, but I'd be like, oh, Power Rangers is dumb. Let me play with your Megazord for hours and let me disconnect.
It was a sick toy.
It looks great.
So many properties back then relied on how good the toys were for how good the shows were.
Well, shows like Transformers were made to sell the toys. That's true.
I mean, I'm sure that's not the only one too. Do you remember Dino Riders?
Same thing.
That was
real
good. Mask?
Do you remember Masks?
Yeah, Masks back, baby. In comic form.
Are you kidding me?
No, it's part of the same universe as Transformers now in the IDW comics.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't follow it at all. I tried reading the Power Rangers comics when they got relaunched.
Who's doing those?
Year.
IDW.
It's Boom. Boom are better overall than IDW, I think.
Yeah,
it's been written by a decent writer who's done stuff on. He did Nightwing, the most recent Nightwing run.
Oh.
Before Rebirth.
Yeah, the
Kyle 52. Higgins is his name. Yeah, for New 52.
Yeah, that was good.
And he's good. Yeah, yeah.
That was great. That was one of the rare good moments of New 52.
Yeah, I agreed. Totally,
I mean, it was
agreed.
Kind of shit that they changed the color to red, but I also get it.
I couldn't follow those Power Rangers comics at all. I read like maybe six, and then
so
I was just like,
do they rely on you having assumed knowledge of the entire
series?
Yeah,
it like follows on from a certain point in the TV show. So like yeah. So like the Green Ranger hasn't become the White Ranger yet, and
also it's set with the classic, like the Jason, the Kimberly.
Yeah, but then Kimberly isn't the Pink Ranger anymore. There's all these. It's bizarre.
Did you know, and I only found this out like kind of recently when I was boning up on my go-go Power Ranger skills and knowledge before recording this, but you know there's been like hundreds of Red Rangers, well not hundreds, but like in close to 20 Red Rangers now and 20 Yellow Rangers. And
like 20 characters as Red Ranger
characters.
Or 20 like actors?
And they change,
Red
like
Ranger.
Sometimes they're like in trucks, like they drop the dinosaur thing, some they change everything, and there's like Red Rangers with stars as the visor as opposed to the visor, and there's this crazy shot, and as a non-fan even, I was like, man, that looks kind of dope. It was an episode where like every Red Ranger teamed up ever.
Oh, wow.
It was like one of those shitty, like, you know, when the old Ninja Turtles met the new 3D ones and stuff in that, like that spin-off movie. You know about that?
No.
So you know how there was like, basically, yeah, there was this, you know how there's like a newer Ninja Turtles cartoon, not the 3D animated one that Nickelodeon has, but the one that was out maybe 10 years ago.
Well, I loved that, the 3D one, the TMNT movie that they made based off that. That was awesome.
Well, yeah. So it wasn't that, but there was one before, like an animated TV series, which wasn't the one we grew up with, but one that was in between.
Right.
And they had a plot where they opened a portal and the voice actors and everything, it was the Ninja Turtles from the 80s, 90s cartoon were in it.
That's sick.
And they all teamed up. I'm kind of like into that shit now.
Yeah,
I'm
me
kinda,
too.
I'm kind of into like, you know, these basically think of it as like Crisis, like, you know, Infinite Crisis basically, but adapted to.
Yeah, it's super comic booky.
Yeah, it's crazy. This crazy show with all the Red Rangers is like ridiculous. But there's been hundreds of iterations. I was going to say, like, I only saw, I guess my knowledge of Power Rangers, it was when it was super popular and it was just the classic five, which we know, which was like Pink Kimberly, Black Zack. Like, it was so ridiculous. Like, the African-American character was a Black Ranger.
The
Asian Power Ranger was Trini, was yellow. It was fucking ridiculous. the dainty female was pink. It's pretty hilarious. And Billy was blue and always a nerd.
Right.
But he wasn't black.
I remember seeing the movie.
Which I did too.
Which we spoke about is a great movie because it was filmed in Sydney.
It's
those are the rules for a great movie.
You go on the wiki page. There's a stub down the bottom. It says films made in Sydney in the 1990s, and yeah, it ticks that box. It was filmed in Kiama, like 10 minutes from where I grew up. I went, and this is so funny because it's relevant to what we saw tonight. In Kiama, there's a huge quarry, and I was literally watching a scene where. I was watching it getting filmed, and it was set in the quarry. And I think in it, they were transported to like another. I don't know what happened, but basically they're transported to an area. It could be another planet or something where it's all rocky or a remote part of the world. Lo and behold, a good chunk of the first hour of this movie is literally set in a quarry.
These fucking kids love hanging out in the quarry together.
I don't know. Like, if you're a big Power Rangers fan, can you let us know if there's some quarry? Like, is the guy who invented Power Rangers, did he like lose his dad in a quarry or something? Or
well, why would he want to keep going back if he lost his dad there?
Because he needs to deal with it. I don't know.
Right.
Or maybe closure. He likes to have his dad in every scene, in a sense.
I feel like I don't really want to go back and watch the TV series, but I do. I'm interested in seeing if the movie
now. Let
is
me
still
ask
fun.
You something. Would we class it as a superhero movie?
That would be a good one to do a commentary to.
Could we do a live commentary to the Power Rangers movie shot in Sydney? Do you know? Oh, remember when? This is another thing. Remember when pre-Olympic Sydney, there was so many like up and down George Street. As opposed to George Street now, which is just full of construction on the street. There was construction either side of it, like building World Square.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember those big holes in ground?
They had to like...
They shot heaps of scenes there.
Pull the globe off the top of Planet Hollywood.
That was the saddest day. That, you know, some people say it was the day that...
The music died.
The music died, but I always say it was the day that they took the globe off Planet Hollywood. That was a real moment.
Remember there used to be that big screen? Like it was like almost like above Planet Hollywood.
Yeah, it was trying to be Times Square.
Yeah, that didn't pan out very well.
No, but there was all these like big construction sites all around like Sydney main streets. And I know they shot a bunch of it there. There's like a scene where it's pretty much on George Street when, who's the villain in it? Ivan Ooze.
Ivan Ooze is in
Power
Rangers?
He's the villain in the Power Rangers movie.
Ivan Ooze is a Sydney Ninja
producer.
Turtles one.
Oh, no, that's no. Just the Ooze.
The Return of the Ooze or whatever it is. Anyway.
Turns out you and I know a lot more about Power Rangers than we ever let on.
No. We know heaps of vague facts that don't really
work. I know
work
the last scene set at the Novotel Darling Harbour and they're watching fireworks while standing on one of the balconies.
I remember that too.
And for some reason, Balkan Skull
I started crying. Yo, spoilers. Not even spoilers. No, most disappointing thing off the bat for the new movie about Power Rangers. Balkan Skull aren't in it.
Well, it's almost like what they've done. They've like taken the finer points of Bulk and Skull and put them into one generic bully, which
that's
is
right.
Ridiculous.
But I guess
is it a rule? Could you not have two bullies now?
Like
in a
that
film?
Bully sucks. Whereas Bulk and Skull were actually like, you they know, were like they had hearts of gold.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Did they end up like hanging out in the what was the era? Where did Zordon and everyone hang out? It had a name, like the power center or something,
right?
I still remember them like sneaking in and like working there for them. Like, I don't know if that's some weird like fever dream I've got, but I do remember like it ended up being like, oh, well, we may as well let them in. Like the filch, so to speak, of the Power Ranger universe. Yeah. They were filchers.
All right. So let's talk about this movie, Power Rangers. I don't know who directed it. I couldn't tell you the name of any of the actors except Bryan Cranston and Elizabeth Banks and Bill Hader.
Bill Hader, who look... No, we'll go. Let's
we'll
try and talk
him
about the movie.
We'll get to him. I want us to kick this off. The first 20 minutes of this movie, I was like, wow, this is going to be great. I loved that first 20 minutes. It was so fast. They introduced all the characters so fast. Like, you know, all this crazy shit happens and they just keep it moving really, really quickly.
Do you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me literally of like a first episode of Power Rangers. Like within 20 minutes, we'd been introduced to every character. We'd learnt their character, like flaws, their strengths, their like desires. Like it was a perfect pilot episode. And I was and like... It was kind of like shot interestingly too. Like, I don't want this, like, I'm kind of saying this because I wanted to end up as a pool quote for when it comes out on Blu-ray. But that car scene at the start was shot so interestingly, how the camera kept spinning around.
It was awesome.
And I was like, this is so unexpected for Power Rangers.
And there's
and it
a
launched
cum
straight
joke.
Away with a big old cum joke. Yeah.
Cum joke's like off the bat. It was cum, great.
Classic. Oh, that wasn't a cow you were milking. It was a bull. And then could have left it there. But no, these filmmakers are such as like zoom in on the cow dick.
Yeah.
The bull dick.
This movie's got a bull dick.
And you and I were like literally nudging at each other like 2 minutes in going, cum.
We're talking about cum.
Whoever sat next to us, I'm so sorry.
No, she was loving the fact that I was laughing at all the inappropriate
moments. Oh,
was
she really?
Yeah, she started trying to be louder than me.
Oh, I love that. I love a bit of competition heckling. Yeah. It's heckling's like one thing, but spectator heckling? Ooh.
So
I want to answer who directed, just so in case he's listening, we can go we know who we're addressing when we ask these, like, no doubt these questions we'll be asking one another. It's Dean Israelite, and funnily enough, not from Israel, South African.
Right.
So that's interesting.
What else has he done of note?
He's made a film called Project Almanac, and if I can remember correctly, that's a found footage film in the vein of your... oh God, it actually looks just like Power Rangers. Here we go. It's a found footage science fiction thriller. Film tells the story of high school students that build a time machine. So it was one of your...
Chronicle or whatever. Yeah.
Which, did you have huge Chronicle vibes watching this?
100%, because there's a bunch of kids that find like a weird artifact that gives them superpowers.
Yeah, it was so Chronicle. The first 20 minutes was Chronicle.
But it was great. I enjoyed it more than Chronicle. I stopped watching Chronicle.
Were you having like 80s movie vibes? Like,
yeah, because they're all in detention.
Yeah, it was like Goonies meets Breakfast Club.
Like really, like those first 20 minutes were awesome. And I really thought, wow, this is going to be like...
I think we both looked at each other at the same time. We're like, this is actually okay.
Yeah, this is like real good. And it isn't... So we meet all the characters, you know, that they've all fucked up. They've done something that's land... Well, three of them have done something that landed them in detention.
We don't even know. Why is Billy in there? So there's Jason, obviously.
I never explained that.
There's Jason, who's the leader, and he's played apparently by an Australian guy who did one of those hilariously, phoned in, what do you call it, like territorial-based ad where it's like, hi, Hoyts, Australia. My name's blah blah, and
well, I had a lot of fun making this movie for you, and I hope you enjoy it too.
Yeah, and you can actually see his pupils reading the cue, like as he said, it's so not heartfelt. And then a bunch of the audience screamed.
Yeah, people were really like, there were a lot of like fans of Power Rangers,
maybe,
and also
his family.
Fans of, yeah, that's possible.
Yeah,
people cheered when his name came up at the end.
Yeah, maybe it's his family.
Speaking of the end, we're not going to spoil it just yet.
But there is a post-credit scene.
We are going to talk about some spoilers throughout this, but we'll give you good warning. We'll try and... Sure. We're going to talk about just the first 20 minutes and then where it all went wrong.
And sorry if we get names or concepts wrong. It's just that...
No. You're welcome if we get names and concepts wrong.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome.
I don't care. like all these kids, like the three...
Oh, no. You've got to speak about the start. Of course, there's a classic pre-setting. And it's... Remember, it's like a war zone?
Yeah,
and it was said like Earth in the cryonic era, and I'm like, what the fuck?
There are fucking dinosaurs up in this bitch.
But was there?
Yeah, I guess so.
They were alien looking, all the people.
Well, because they're not people. So whatever force gives the Power Rangers their powers,
which is those little things I used to hold in the TV series and go, it's morphin' time, like those badges.
But they
call them
rocks,
coins in this.
Stones, cones, yeah.
Cones. Now that's
cones,
funny.
Yeah, they have to smoke a cone and
that'd
they get
be
Power
really
Ranger
funny.
Powers.
That's like when Leprechaun, like legitimate horror series, went gangster with Leprechaun back in the hood.
That's right.
I'd Power love Rangers them to be Power Rangers back in the hood.
So yeah, it opens with them. I guess like the Power Rangers, like the source of these powers. What do they call it? The Morph Force or something. Morph Zone. Or
also,
something.
What's funny is that's something that is in the whole movie. All of these words, like Morph Force and stuff, they sound like words that are placeholders that the scriptwriter's like, oh, we're going to come up with a better sounding word
later. It won't
later.
Be that. It won't be that. Let's just say it for now, but it won't be that at the end.
It's not a Zord. This robot's not called a Megazord.
Like, yeah, we're still working on
it. No, we're going to speak to some people. But yeah, we're just, right now it's Morph Force. But it's like what? There's always a red, blue, yellow, black and pink force that like finds people and then they get chosen to be Power Rangers.
Yeah. There has to always be five and then they stop Rita Repulsa from
touching
destroying
something.
The universe. Is it like getting her hands on some crystal?
It's basically the Matrix Reloaded. It happens, you know, it keeps happening.
So we learn that the first Power Ranger in this movie, the first Red Ranger, was Zordon, who was played by Bryan Cranston.
But like Bryan Cranston in a Star Trek episode, because he's bald and has like an upturned nose.
And he's blue.
But
like
he's not humanoid.
Blue.
He's humanoid, but he's not human.
No. And
then when he's a robot screen thing, he looks human. And then Rita had an upturned nose and looked weird and had like slits and stuff.
Yeah, so they're weird aliens.
But then she was a normal looking human when she was Rita.
I guess like, well, okay, so
the fuck was with that discrepancy?
The Zords land, like take on the form of whatever the most powerful being on your planet is.
Is that the same as Transformers?
I don't know. Maybe. There's a Transformers joke at one point in this. Red Ranger throws a yellow car and says, ooh, sorry, you Bumblebee.
Ooh. Just one vapid.
What studio made this?
Warner Brothers.
Roadshow.
No, Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers, right.
Well, we had nothing but Warner's trailers at the start.
No, but it was like Roadshow people invited me and welcomed us there.
Did they invite me? They still don't. They haven't invited me.
They don't want you there.
And this is why. This episode is exactly why. It was Paramount. There you go.
Paramount, who I guess I have Roadshow connections here.
Here we go. MTV Films produced it.
Right. And, it was with a Hong Kong studio too, I think.
In Surge or Platinum Dunes, yeah.
Whatever. This is minutia that the fam don't care about, Angus. They want to hear us roast this stupid movie.
So, look, I've got to say that opening pre-sequence where it was...
The pre-cum sequence.
The pre-cum, literally the pre-cum sequence. I was kind of like, oh, this is not what I expected from Power Rangers. It's like a complete, it's like a Saving Private Ryan-esque, like, battlefield. There's people crawling around, explosions going off, and then people dying. And it was kind of cool.
Yeah, Rita Repulsa gets plunged into the ocean.
Oh, and you find out, and I don't know if this is canon. Also, I think a lot of people at this stage in the theater were thinking, this ain't my Power Rangers, or this ain't your granddaddy's Power Rangers, is a phrase I would like to say more than once tonight. But she was the Green Ranger, and then she betrays Zordon, the Red Ranger.
And that's why she becomes...
We don't know anything else. It's like every...
She loves gold.
She loves... There's... Look out, gold member. There is a new lover of the finest element of all time going around.
She loves gold.
It was really funny when you said that.
100 times.
Every time.
Every
first
time she's on stage.
Each time got funnier.
That's good. I'm glad. I was at the rakes.
And that super basic top level description for the betrayal, for example, that she just betrays him and we're just not given info, but we're going along with it. That's every bit of information, every bit of development is as thin layer as that. It's great.
So we really loved, like, once we're introduced to the five different kids that make up
it's the Breakfast Club.
It's the Breakfast Club.
We don't know what's going on.
And, you know, they're all very pretty and they're all very, like, you know, like...
United Colors of Benetton.
Paper
they're all
thin,
from a different part of the world.
But they all live in...
Angel Grove.
Angel Grove. And all their kind of... their wants and desires and fuck-ups are pretty paper thin. But it works, you know?
Yeah, that's Jason's what
you,
under
you
house
go
arrest.
Into this movie expecting that level of, you know, like, you know...
Character development.
Oh, I understand what this person is because he said that's what he wants
he's
to
the
do.
Jock who's under house arrest because he stole a cow. And
yeah, and
he's the nerd.
And I love that, like, that they were straight up with Billy. He says he's on the spectrum.
I thought, that, you know, that was pretty woke.
Yeah, there were some woke moments in this movie.
And then, like, I actually found Jason to be a lot more likable than I wanted him to be.
Yeah, I agree.
Because he could have been...
For those first 20 minutes,
yeah,
at the very
he could
least.
Have been a great jock. And he could have been, like, a cliche jock, rather. But he was kind of playing on the whole jock thing. Like, he was very quick and funny, which you don't usually see attributed to jocks in films like this. And
yeah.
When he slapped people, and it was just, he was like, yeah, that was weird, wasn't
that
it?
That was like, weird, right? Yeah, that was cool.
I was
like
that's
that.
Kind of funny. And when he says, I'm on the spectrum, and he's like, oh, what's that, a workout thing? And he's like, no. And he's like, I know what it means.
Yeah.
I was like, it's Jason's work.
Yeah, I really enjoyed those first 20 minutes. I'm going to keep saying that because I'm about to say a lot of mean things about this movie. But so as soon as they discover, like, you know, for whatever happens, these kids end up in the fucking quarry.
Like,
for some
the thing
reason.
Is, we're going into this not to, like, be converted of fans, but I was just up for some dumb entertainment.
And well, and it's been getting pretty decent reviews. You know, it's around the
really
7, 8 out of 10 kind of scale, which means good.
I wonder
you know?
How much of that's a nostalgia thing.
Yeah, I don't know. But I feel like if I loved this franchise, I would have been even angrier because the small amount... Like, this is a movie where that doesn't actually get the Power Rangers in their suits until, like, the last 15 minutes.
I expected that, though.
There's 5 minutes of them doing Power Ranger-y stuff.
I honestly expected that.
Yeah, right. I didn't at all.
I was like...
Especially after... Because those first 20 minutes are so fast. We meet everybody.
Yeah, the
pacing gets
crazy.
We learn who they are, like, all their family background, like, their struggles, all that kind of thing. Then they... find the power stones all within the first 20 minutes.
See,
and I was like, fuck, they're just pushing this along. These guys will be Power Rangers within the next 5 minutes. And then we just get nonstop Power Rangering for the rest of the movie.
I was getting hella Twilight vibes too watching this, where I was like, man, they're going to keep them out of the suits because they want to, like, they want these actors and characters to become people that hung up on people's rooms with posters.
But there was no romance in this whatsoever.
No. So, I mean, no, that was, I think not Twilight in the sense that it was going to be like a romance, but I think they were just really pushing the image of these people.
Yeah.
To be like, these are your new favorite young actors. And they're all, it was so funny. We're just looking at their rap sheets and two of them are like musicians that we've never heard of.
Like pop stars and rappers. And
yeah, it's so hilarious.
The guy who plays the Black Ranger is a great photo of him in his boxer shorts with the guitar.
Yeah.
That's
hilarious.
Special. but for whatever reason, they all end up in a quarry and Billy... starts like makes
an
explosion happen.
It's never explained why all
happen.
Five strangers are constantly hanging out in this quarry.
It's never explained why he even wants to go there. I
kind
and of
what I
like-
gathered from its paper thin explanation is you saw his laptop wallpaper quickly, and he kept speaking about how he misses his dad and his dad's dead. And his dad was in a hard hat and looked like he worked at a quarry. And he's like, me and my dad used to go finding things, and so I think his dad worked there.
Yeah, I thought maybe
I think, but even
maybe
then, that's
his dad
excuse.
Got stuck in a cave.
Yeah.
And he was going to try and find his body or something. I don't know. They don't follow up on whatever Billy was trying to do at any point in the movie.
You kind of get the idea. This movie was written probably by 30 people.
Yeah.
And just like iterations of the script stayed, or they're probably like, that start stayed probably from script one. They're like, nailed it. And then it just gets so fucking messy.
Yeah. So I was really expecting it to just like get them in their suits really quickly, set up at the Power Rangers, and then it's fucking morphin' time, motherfuckers.
Yeah, and the pacing was great. Like you said, it was just like boom, boom.
And then they
boom.
Discover the stones. And they had this awesome escape sequence when people from the mines chase after them. They get hit by a motherfucking train.
That's right.
That was unexpected as hell. I was like, man, this movie's crazy.
And then it becomes Sam Raimi's first Spider-Man.
No, wait. Then we have this cool, the first Spider-Man.
Yeah, it becomes the first Spider-Man movie.
When they all wake up
and they're touching things and they're breaking. Like, I was watching going, this is Raimi. No, you know what? From the get-go, it was Raimi's Spider-Man with Billy getting picked on in class by a bully and stuff.
Yeah.
He was Peter Parker. He was, like, using inventions to get Jason's house arresting off. Like, there was so many allusions to the first Spider-Man film.
So
them being ripped and having six-packs when they woke up?
Yeah, exactly. And I loved that the stones, like, boiling everything on the on the pass.
I didn't get that, but it was great.
That was crazy.
that was crazy.
Also, there's like a Mean Girls kind of subplot as well. Like, yeah, Kimberly gets kicked off. Oh man, gets kicked off the cheerleading team.
Woke as fuck.
But so then, like, yeah, they take their new power coins or whatever the fuck. They go back to this goddamn quarry that they love hanging out at so much, and they jump over a cliff and they jump in the water. And then they go through the water.
It's literally not just like breezing through this quickly. Like, that's what they do. They jump down this huge hole and they kind of find this hidden base.
And they have to like climb down through the water, and then the gravity is different.
It's a similar scene to in the Phantom Menace, if you will, when they swim to the Gungan city and they kind of touch that bubble and then they step through and it's all dry and stuff on the inside. Very episode one vibes, you Jar Jar heads.
And then they go into this, like, you know, weird spaceship that lets them in because they have the power stones, and we meet the character that signifies that this movie is about to get real shit, and that is Alpha 5, the robot who used to say ay 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 ay. And in fact, on the soundtrack to the first Power Rangers movie that was made in the 90s, there was a song.
Sorry, like the first Power Rangers movie made in the 90s that was shot in Australia?
Yes, that's the one. The famous Australian classic Power Rangers. There was a song on there about Alpha 5, and it was like the chorus was like, ay, 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 ay.
Your knowledge of film soundtracks is kids' movie soundtracks or action movie soundtracks, second to none.
That was very, very important to me back
then. Did you honestly have that soundtrack?
No, but I just remember it being advertised on back in the day. I remember Shampoo, I'm in trouble, We're in Trouble.
Yes.
That was on the soundtrack too.
Imagine like a selling point of a major movie's soundtrack being there's a song called Aye, 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 Aye.
I feel like the soundtrack doesn't mean shit now.
No.
Like, now you see something like Suicide Squad.
Well, you know the
Squad,
last time was Suicide Squad.
And, like,
when
Lose Yourself suddenly. Sorry, not Lose Yourself. Eminem.
Yeah.
Whatever that song
was
called.
It was horrible. Purple Lamborghini one or whatever it was.
Oh, boy. No good. Anyway.
Sheesh.
Definite Suicide Squad vibes coming up very soon. But, yeah, Alpha 5 is played by Bill Hader, which I thought would have been cool, but his design is terrible.
I was about to say, might I say the most unimaginative and just ugly looking design I've seen for a robot ever?
Like, but
also, Alpha, this isn't a big thing. Alpha 5, I'm sure, was the same size as everybody else. He just looked off being this tiny little. You can tell, basically, this is my theory, he was shot like to scale, was the same size as them. And then The Force Awakens came out, and they're like, fuck, it's all about cute little droids. Is there any way you can stretch those graphics?
Make him a little bit longer, a little bit shorter, but also make his arms like stretchy and make him really powerful and able to take out all of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers before they have their, like, before they get their suits. But then don't send him out to fight Rita Repulsor at any point,
shitty
even
CG
though he clearly
too,
could
like
take him
shitty,
down.
Shitty
oh my
CG.
God, this has some bad CG in
there's
it.
There's some horrible, but him in particular.
Almost exclusively bad
for
CG.
For a character that has, like, you know, maybe 20 minutes of like constant screen time. He just looked appalling.
We are just going to spoil this movie now. Like, honestly,
his design was terrible.
If you listen this far, you don't need to see this movie, fam. Who gives a fuck about this movie?
How would you describe him for somebody who was blind? Imagine somebody who had their vision, saw the original Power Rangers and loved it.
Okay.
And then they're blind and they're going to see this new one, and you have to describe Alpha 5 to them.
Okay, so imagine like a red coin purse.
Perfect.
With like two gold eyes.
Oh, the eyes were disturbing.
Like,
I didn't like those eyes.
Yeah, and
the eyes looked like screensavers or something.
And then big, like, octopus arms.
His arms were gross as fuck. The whole thing was just... He just looked icky. Like, he just... So, look, here's the 11s. I've got a picture of the original.
Cute. Yeah. Unbelievable. Perfect throwback
cool robot. Design. Comes. It's culturally ambidextrous. You know, that could be a Japanese robot. That could be an American robot. Doesn't matter.
He just looks like a robot. And robots are great.
The simpler a robot... You know, if you can't draw a robot within three lines, then you've screwed up. Then, look...
Look at this coin purse frog. Red coin purse frog.
It's fucked.
Oh, God. He's disgusting.
Like, at least in the movie, the movie's so dark in parts, you can barely see him. And I think that's by design.
That's really... That's one of the... That's, I reckon, the worst character design.
Do you know,
that's so bad that it'll probably win an Oscar next
year.
Yeah,
it's so bad. That this is the damaged tattoo of 2017. It actually looks like it wouldn't be out of place in the amazingly horrible Lost in Space movie from 98.
I was totally getting lost because there is a, like, you know, danger, Will Robertson. That robot.
Why are his arms so long?
He kind of looks like Colossus from the X-Men as
well.
Yeah,
the color scheme's so weird. Yeah. And I think he has like a pot belly as well.
You know what he looks like? There was a pack-in game on Mac computers where you played this dumbass like robot on an alien.
Sounds
it was like
clear.
A 3D platformer. It looks like one of the characters from that.
Look at his... He had a belly.
Yeah, that was really weird. He had like this pot belly.
And Bill Hader's
belly.
Literally... And I got to say the same for Bryan Cranston. They're literally doing these lines over FaceTime or something. Like there is no...
I feel like they... Like I feel like Bill Hader definitely puts in effort, but it's just like... He's a terrible character.
It was Bill Hader on like... On a six...
On a six?
Like, not Drake. He wasn't in Toronto.
Yeah, in the six?
He was on a six. Like, if I was a director, I was like, come on, Bill, give me classic Bill Hader 10 out. Like, go 10. He was going six.
Yeah, I'll
this.
Give you six.
Yeah.
That's all you
It's like
get.
He literally went in for half an hour, recorded a bunch of exclamations, and they edited them up and tried to make them suit the scenes that they applied to the best.
I think that he just got shit lines and, like, bizarre direction. And also Cranston... Like, you know, for the dumbass shit he has to say, he does, he has got
What's
some
an actual
good...
line he has to say is literally like, those are Power Rangers stone, Morphin stones, and they chose you, and Rita Repulsa's coming to get a big crystal, and if you don't team up and morph and learn how to morph, then you're all going to die, and
yeah,
go train,
out.
go to the pit and train. It was so, like, was he mean? Was he like, was he supposed to be an Obi-Wan Kenobi character? Because I fucking hated him in this.
Yeah, it was... Absolutely terrible. The narrative in the lead up to this movie of why Cranston was involved was so cool because
he was the first Red Ranger. That's such a dope, cool like spin on. I don't know if this again has come up later and it's now retconned and he is the first Red Ranger. You find out, but it was such a cool concept for me.
But I mean, like his history with the Power Rangers franchise goes right back to the early 90s cartoon.
Yeah, he was always there.
He was the voice of a whole bunch of random monsters. Bryan Cranston. What did I say?
Zordon, maybe. No,
no, yeah, I said Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, you do.
For once, I said what I thought I said. He used to do voices of random monsters because he had like such a deep voice.
Is this legit?
Legit. Like that's his connection to the Power Rangers.
So was he asked to come back because of that or was it just a coincidence?
I think he got asked to come back because of his connections to it.
So he would have been doing that while he was like on Seinfeld and stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's so wild.
So crazy. But he's atrocious in this. And the main bad person is Rita Repulsa. I kind of, you know, like... Again, for what she was given, I think she does a good job. Elizabeth Banks plays her.
She was probably the best thing about it because she just played it like... She was playing it on a 10. She was like, well, fuck this. I'm going to do this stupid. Like,
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
going to do this.
She gave it her all. But again, her all means that she has to like yell at a bunch of kids who
and,
are
like,
tied up to a boat.
Stroke their face while she's talking to them and like
yeah.
speak so close that you think she's going to kiss them. Just like hectic, lame shit like that.
But so after this like lightning fast opening 20 minutes, we then get the most boring, drawn out hour in which they try to become worthy of morphing.
Like why?
While they get yelled
so
at.
So into the idea of morphing, if none of them had ever morphed before.
Yeah, while they get yelled at by Bryan Cranston's massive head.
And one of them accidentally morphs once.
Yeah.
Which is so weird.
And then he dies.
There you go. He played Twin Man and Snizzard in two episodes.
That's Bryan Cranston. Yeah. There you go.
How good Snizzard
I love that you didn't believe me.
No, I believed you. I was just curious as to what monsters and why he wasn't the original Zordon.
So, yeah, like, about 20 minutes after the first 20 minutes, you could say 40 minutes into this movie, I'd gone from like, man, this is really great to, oh man, this is really starting to overstay its welcome. And then 20 minutes after that, or an hour in, I was like, man, I just want this to be over.
So was the bulk of this movie? I'm just trying to remember now.
There was no bulk in this movie.
Too true. So sad. It was the bulk of it, like training montages, basically, wasn't it?
Yeah, and like,
and being chronicled one the montage movie, like, jumping.
Would have done. Like, I don't understand. So when they finally get their fucking suits on at the end, it's so fast. It's over so fast, and they just fit in all. Like, all I didn't like any of the choreography, the fighting choreography, because it's just them fighting shitty CGI monsters.
Yeah, you know, give me the dudes in the Zentai suits from the original.
I agree. Villains. Give me a whole bunch of sparks when they get hit, and then when the bad guys hit,
like
they fall back and they spin their arms around as they when they get hit.
I do like the fact the first time we saw them suited up and fighting the putties. It was in the middle of the broad daylight in an abandoned area. Like, it was, and I don't know if that was funny on purpose, but like, that's what I always think about when I think of 100%. The show. They were always fighting in just like desolate places with no population. And they did that in this. So I was kind of like, oh, that's pretty cool. They're doing that. And then I'm like, oh no, this is all CG. Like, nothing in this is real.
It was, and the CG was no good.
Yeah. Like, for the start, there was no CG for those 20 minutes that we love so much. And it was fine.
Yeah, if you thought like Suicide Squad when they fight essentially putties, the you know, weird creatures made of
it looks as bad
clay
as
and garbage. If you thought like the makers of Power Rangers were like, we invented putties, we're going to do these weird creatures the justice that they deserve. They don't do any better.
No.
Just like these weird characters made of rocks who don't really fight. They just kind of throw themselves at the Power Rangers.
And they all have like multiple heads and like 20 arms and stuff.
And it's just like these kind of crappy bad guys that Marvel always used too, where it's just an excuse for the characters to jump around and do some aerobics and kick a bunch of things.
Yeah.
And it's not impressive. It doesn't look good.
No, you don't feel any of the weight of the punches, or you don't feel the like, oh, that would have hurt. Like, you're just watching, like you said, like it's like weightlessness. It just looks like a cutscene.
And they don't even like get pulled apart in a cool way. They just kind of like get smashed up a bunch. And
yeah.
Yeah, it was real shit. And then the Zords are like these ginormous, like, the Zords from the Power Rangers, like for whatever the production values were of those dope 90s things, the fucking Zords, which are those big dinosaurs.
You know what the best thing about them was? Ride. You could tell what the hell they were supposed to be.
Exactly. Like big pink
pterodactyl. There was a big pterodactyl, a big red T-Rex, a black woolly mammoth, a yellow saber-toothed tiger, and a blue triceratops.
Yep.
Now, four of those things look like that in this, but then the black one, I couldn't pin down.
The black is like this weird bug.
Well, it has six guns. Legs, and is it supposed to be like a lit elephant because it still had like a trunk? I just don't know what it's supposed to be.
Very fucking weird.
And it's so weird that they featured that one so prominently and gave it like...
Well, that was the only thing that character did. Black Ranger does not get much.
This is something I want to ask you. I want you to tell... If I name one of the characters, I want you to tell me three things about them. And see.
Okay, go.
Jason Red Ranger.
Jason Red Ranger. Crashed a car. His friend jacked off a cow.
A bull. That's the joke.
A bull, that's right. And his dad... He's a fisherman.
Perfect. Kimberly Pink Ranger.
Kimberly Pink Ranger cuts her hair off. Mm. Slut shamed a friend.
Which was a very woke subplot for a movie aimed at, I think, as children. But then judging by the audience tonight, it's for adults.
Also, she had all the creepiest moments. The camera was very creepy towards her, I thought.
Her body, you mean?
Yeah. Like, it just kind of... It was like any opportunity to kind of... film her like,
you know what, I just remembered, like when she takes her shirt off to jump into a lake.
I mean, that's kind of to be expected, I guess, in this kind of movie, but
sure.
Like, I don't know, it was weird. It was like, yeah, we get it, she's beautiful, I guess, like
I guess. Yeah. That's such a Billy move of you. Billy
autistic. Billy's on the spectrum. He loves pencils.
What was that? Why does he love that? Such a fucking...
Why is he in detention?
Yeah, because he's into crayon so much. It's so odd.
His family are also autistic because his mum remembers everyone's full name and yells it at him.
That's strange.
Is autism hereditary?
His mum calls everyone by their full name. Yeah, maybe. Oh, that's so weird.
These are the massive questions that I did not expect.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Power Rangers to raise up. Also, he dies.
Yeah, but don't worry. It's a death that lasts.
Also, he spits water out of his mouth about 7 times in this movie.
Yeah, there's a spit take Oscar for 2017. Give it to this kid. Yellow Ranger, Trini, which for some reason I called DD. I don't know if that's a joke.
Okay, so
joke. Is that an in-joke? Can you let us know?
Don't know. No idea. So, reveals herself in this movie to be gay.
Yep. Woke, again, a very woke Power Ranger subplot.
Has 2 younger brothers, yep, and a very perfect family that she struggles to be a part of.
Yeah.
Does not do one thing of note as a Power Ranger in the movie. However, is given an opportunity to portray the Power Rangers by Rita Repulsa and doesn't.
Yeah, okay. And the final one, Zach.
Zach has a sick mother.
Like, he means like actually sick.
Fucking loves camping. Like, loves just lighting a fire.
It's so weird.
He's the weakest character easily.
Yeah. Steals a Zord and it runs.
Steals a Zord, yeah. So I struggled, but I got a few
references. This movie has like 3 settings,
to them,
doesn't it? There's a school.
Yep.
A quarry.
A quarry. And Krispy Kreme.
And Krispy Kreme is literally the next thing I had to say. In the most... Remember in like the first Thor movie, it looks kind of like a town that...
Yeah,
like,
it reminded me heaps of that first... Yeah. Was it Oklahoma or no?
I don't know. I think it was Oklahoma. But remember, it looks like a town basically where... It's a town where they test nuclear bombs on.
Yeah, yeah. There's like 8 buildings in it. Yeah, this is like that, except one of them was a Krispy Kreme.
It's so weird.
Like, if you Krispy thought the Kreme IHOP gets... in Man of Steel was weird, this is like even weirder.
Krispy Kreme gets so many shout-outs in this movie.
Like, Rita Repulsa at one point sits down in the Krispy Kreme on her own and eats a donut.
And it looks like it was shot for a commercial. Like, I guarantee, like, it's so funny. Yeah, the movie was so small and like, it was so weird. And then for some reason, that opening scene reminded me of Kimberly cutting her hair. She like, wait a minute. She's going to detention on a Saturday. She gets a text from her friend saying, we're here. And then she walks into the bathroom in the like abandoned Saturday school that no one is at.
Yeah.
Same cubicle. They come out laughing and they're like, oh, you're here. It was so weird.
And then they cut her out of it. And
they've showed up with scissors and a photo of all 3 of them. And yeah, they're like, we're cutting you out, literally.
And then her picture to the wall.
And then she cuts her hair off. But this is all in the first 70 seconds of us meeting.
I thought that was awesome, though. That was fine.
But then what's great, she gets to a car and her dad's like, you cut your hair? Yeah. Like, why would her dad give a shit? It was incredible. It was so funny.
Yeah, this is a real, really, really funny movie. So they finally...
Who's it for? Like, I keep... Because, like, I know we were there as part of a promo thing, and there was predominantly adults, because I guess they're people who have jobs in the media or perhaps talk about
this. No, because I felt like a bulk of the audience tonight were Power Rangers diehard fans.
Well, this is what I mean, and they're adult, like, they're people our age.
And because there were moments in this, like, you know, like, it cut to, like, when the Power Rangers win at the end, it cuts to the crowd, and there are a bunch of, like,
there's
older
people.
There's
the pink and green Ranger, I think.
Well, I didn't recognize them, but, like, the crowd were like, whoa! Like,
yeah,
like, that was like the biggest cheer the audience
it was like
gave, because they recognized
those
faces.
When you saw the Millennium Falcon in Force Awakens.
Yeah, 100%.
But these were just like average looking American people who haven't aged that well. And it's just like, oh, okay.
And like the Megazord massive robot thing that where all the kind of like... dinosaurs forming into like Voltron. Happens accidentally because they Goldar, who is this enormous golden monster that Rita makes after stealing all of Angel Grove's gold, makes this enormous like gold monster.
This is not Austin Powers 3.
She loves gold.
She literally goes to like a jewelry store and starts eating. Like that again reminded me of Thor too. Like the out of towner, like who doesn't do things quite right, confusing the poor simpleton locals.
Who doesn't allow people to live quite right.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she kills them and eats their gold teeth.
It's so weird.
But
and there's a homeless guy in this movie. I'm not laughing at that. But for some reason, he's continuously listening to punk. Like, that's how he's homeless. Did you notice that was weird? He's always carrying around a stereo. And he's like an older guy too. He's in his like 60s or something. Just listening to punk constantly.
There's a really funny homeless guy moment in the first episode of Iron Fist as well. We can talk about that after we finish this wrap-up of the movie.
Funny as in that's a funny scene? Or
like funny in the same way that the homeless guy's scene is hilarious in Power Rangers.
Sure.
Yeah. So the massive Megazord, when they all form up, happens accidentally because Goldar thrusts them into like a pit of fire.
This movie's full of pits. It's like the person who wrote this is scared of falling into the ground. They constantly refer to things as pits.
And there's a quarry a lot. They get thrown into this like big pit of fire, and then instead of like morphing together like by choice, they get molded together accidentally, and then suddenly there's this enormous robot that did not look good at all.
I was gonna say one of the things by this stage I was already like, you know, looking at my phone for literally during the movie. I googled what is the Black Ranger Zord in this movie, and it's not a lot of people have commented yet because it's not out, but there was a YouTube I noticed just called like, what the WTF is up with the new Zords? And like some hardcore fan, like, you know, like a PewDiePie type dude ripping it apart, and not ripping it apart, but just really dissecting it. But I was at least at this stage looking forward to all of them connecting and like shit interlocking and, you know, it becoming this giant thing. Like that always looked cool. That was always the best part.
Well, I love they had their watches or whatever. That's where they kept their power stones, and they always like hold their watches up in front of it, like their hands
that's
up
right.
in front of their face, and be like, you know, it's morphin' time, blah blah blah. And then they would say like, you know, like dinosaur, blah blah blah. Like, and then that would turn into
Triceratops.
That shit was cool. I wanted that stupid.
I would have
stuff.
Loved if they had a like face to camera. Like,
I really wish they went all out. Like,
me too, dude.
And I thought that was how they were setting it up. Like,
well, because when they all take out of, what was the name of the base anyway? Their base, and all the Zords run out. The original theme song starts, and I was like, oh, good, they're going to start.
Power Rangers.
They're now going for 10
here
minutes
we go.
Ago.
We've waited 90 minutes. They finally got the suits on.
They're over
they're
the EDM versions of like classic songs, like Stand By Me and
that was bizarre. And
you and I lost it at that scene.
I lost it a lot.
You and I haven't laughed so much in a film for so long, and we were stone cold sober for this too, and we had the giggles, something bad,
something fierce.
It might have been that hella joint we was jaying on.
Oh yeah, man, I smoked so many marijuana joints.
Is that because you're the Green Ranger?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, bro.
You're the White Ranger, the cokehead.
I'm awake. I'm wired as hell.
So that this movie also delivers like a post-credit scene for a sequel that I'm going to go out on a limb.
Did we predict it last week?
I think I
said this last week. I'm pretty sure
the Green Ranger was going to get teased in the post-credit scene. Tommy, he absolutely does.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go out on a limb here. I don't think that sequel is going to get made.
Yeah, God, if someone asked me now, it would totally be either way. It's interesting that Transformers and Power Rangers, I find like two similar franchises, like...
Or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Well, I'm not even including this in this analogy, and maybe that's because I'm being extremely biased because I was a fan, but Power Rangers and Transformers to me just seem like really odd franchises for anybody that's over the age of like 15 to be passionate about still.
Yeah.
Like, like Ninja Turtles, like if you're into Ninja Turtles, like, I think you can look back on it and be like, oh, that was cool. But it's like something that's very hard to keep up with the latest canon and treat it seriously. Like, and I just find it.
And there's a great long running Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Well, the IDW, the last four years or so. See, the original comics too were like aimed at like older adults. They weren't for like Marvel readers or like kiddie readers in the 80s. Like, they were definitely aimed at like older teens and young adults.
They were very edgy for their time.
Yeah, and then they pretend that like the Ooze was the same truck that blinded Matt Murdock. Do you know about this?
No.
So that's why they did that. When they're like, they kind of played on it. They're like, when the ooze, the truck turned the corner, the ooze dropped down. It's the same stuff that got Daredevil. Like the writer was hinting at that.
That's awesome.
Which is hilarious because it's all in New York. I've always found them quite odd as franchises, as people who are like in their 30s plus who are so passionate about it. Like, I'm kind of like, oh, it was just to sell toys, wasn't it? Like,
yeah.
Is, right? Like, I know Transformers was, but that's why I'm like confused. If this isn't a dig at fans. Like, you can like whatever you want. I think that's cool. But maybe this movie will go well because the audience are adults, maybe. I don't think there's young
kids. How many Power Rangers fans are there out there? Well, like, Transformers are much... No, but I'm not a fan. I'm just
saying... No, I'm saying, like, you know what you were saying. You saw some people... You were speaking to some people who saw this film,
yeah,
who
are
fans.
Good friend of the show, Albert Santos, who sold you a Star Wars figure. He's a fan.
So that's what
like
I mean. Maybe...
Movie.
And he went on record as saying he didn't like this, I think, to you.
Yep. But on record.
I think...
He took an oath.
People will... go as adults and pay for this, and maybe that's what will grant a sequel.
Yeah, I don't
like,
know.
Is this trying to?
I feel like I don't know who it's for, and I don't even know who it appeals to.
Like, are they taking a punt and being like, we want to this to appeal to kids and this be their new superhero thing? Because fuck, kids aren't going to be interested in this movie.
This movie is boring for kids. Like, honestly, like the only like being a 12-year-old, I think I would enjoy this.
Do you?
I loved Batman Forever when I was 12.
Yeah, but Batman's in his suit from the get-go.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, this is a lot of teens hanging around talking.
There's that discovery. There's that dramatic element. I don't know. I'm trying to like figure out who would
enjoy this
movie.
Trying to get that studio exec head.
It's getting good reviews. I don't know why. I feel like that is...
Is it actually?
The nostalgia factor. Yeah. I mean, it's got 49% on Metacritic or whatever at the moment.
But that's not great.
There are like, you know, your IGN gave it 7 out of 10. That's a good score. They gave Civil War like 7.9 out of 10.
Yeah, it's so weird. Also, like, don't go to IGN for movie reviews. Not you. I mean, in general. Like,
They used to have a really great movie podcast called Keeping It Real that was actually...
What happened?
Good.
They just...
I don't know why they stopped doing it, but I wish it was back so I could hear them talk about this movie.
I'm just so curious who this is for, and I know that Paramount are having, like, you know, doing a multiverse for... No, sorry, like a shared universe for Transformers now, and... having like a Bumblebee movie and stuff, and now realizing that this was a Paramount distributed film, like, are they going to link up the Power Rangers with Transformers? Like, is this how
I guess dire, that's how you turn it into a franchise.
Is this how dire it's gotten?
Yeah. Well, anyway,
look, it's got 47 on Rotten Tomatoes, which is...
Oh, well, it's gone down 2% since I last checked.
It's got a...
They've heard our review.
Yeah, they're literally... someone's downstairs transcribing. It's had four reviews, like four top critic reviews.
Right. So we'll see what happens in the next week. I'm anticipating by the end of next week, maybe like 25%.
Yeah. I'm picturing a Suicide Squad on our hands.
What did Suicide Squad end up with on Metacritic? Where's that at right now?
I think Batman vs. Superman's on 23 or something.
Yeah. I think that first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie is on like 22.
The first?
The first Michael Bay one.
Oh, yeah. Suicide Squad has 26.
26%. That's too generous, if you ask me.
It's way too generous.
So it's one of those things, like, I left Suicide Squad and I was like, I don't understand how that movie could appeal to anybody.
Sure.
Anybody. Because it was so disjointed. It didn't feel like a movie. There was no
narrative.
But you
knew it was going to make money because Joker and Batman should have been omnipresent for the last X amount of years, and like it was going to make money. At least these characters were familiar to people. Like,
yeah,
how Power Rangers is just like this thing people go, oh, I remember that, and then they don't go, oh, I'm going to buy a $20 movie ticket to go see it.
Like, but this suffers from the same thing where, like, above all, like, regardless of how you feel about these characters going in or coming out, it's not a movie. It's just a bunch of disjointed shit that just happens.
Yeah,
and like, there's no growth. There's no, like, there's nothing that keeps you hooked. And it's another movie where I'm like, man, that was a really, really bad movie.
No, not at all.
But as in, like, for me, I think that was a really, really bad movie. Like, an atrocious movie. But then, like, and one that I cannot fathom anyone enjoying.
Same with the Transformers movies.
Like, I can see you going like, oh, I like this part and this part and this part of Power Rangers. Mm. But I don't know what kind of person leaves that cinema. And this isn't me being like, you know, judgmental
or
classes or leaders. Exactly. I don't understand how you could finish watching that and be like, that was a good movie.
You know, I had a similar, I remember seeing the first Transformer movie like maybe 10 or 11 years ago now when it came out. And honestly being there going like, who's this movie for?
See, even that first Transformers movie, for a blockbuster, kind of makes enough sense for me to go like, that was certainly a movie. This Rangers did not feel like a movie to me.
It was too, like, small.
It was just a bunch of shit.
It was just small,
happened.
Though, wasn't it? It was kind of like, these kids kept running back to a base.
And it was, again, you know, that stupid thing when they're like, you know, what should a bad guy do? Oh, I don't know, want to destroy the world for no fucking reason.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not compelling in any way, shape, or form.
And these guys, I just loved how these Power Rangers can immediately pilot these, like, giant beasts and, like, have essentially Air Force training. Like, the girl in the pterodactyl just, like, flying down a street like an X-Wing or something, just, like, blasting precise points.
Yeah, that stuff I don't have a problem with. I honestly, like, I went in expecting this to happen, but there wasn't enough of it. Like, they just really pulled on those weird, shitty teen
drama
strings.
Weakest last fight as well. Like, literally.
So quick and
spoiler
and
alert,
dull.
The way they beat him is they literally, there's no, like, clashing of swords. There's no, like, fist throwing. As the giant Goldon or whatever, what's he called?
Goldar
comes to a Goldar.
Who's actually a very sick character design
in
the original show, yeah.
Comes towards the Megazord, which is accidentally formed as one. They literally hug it and throw it backwards.
There's no, and then they slap it. Because
they
learned
it in training.
Oh, no, they slap Rita. Rita gets slapped.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, this was not great. And she gets frozen.
Yeah, and then someone says, yippee-ki-yay, mother, and then doesn't swear.
Yeah, very strange. Anyway, so I would not recommend seeing this movie.
I'd go if, like, you went with a friend and it was for free and you just laughed all the way through it.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I had a fun time tonight.
No, there was a good half hour that I didn't want to be in the cinema.
Yeah. I just
wanted to skip.
Maybe we just had fun because we were hanging out at a movie. We hadn't
done
it for ages.
Haven't done in a while. So, yeah, all right. Go see this movie if you're me and
closer.
Angus.
I think, if you want to get closer to your podcast co-host and good friend, go see it. Don't say it. Like, but I'm really curious. I kind of wish we, because I don't want to be like, I hope I don't, you know, haven't ruffled any feathers by saying I find Power Rangers like a strange franchise to be interested in. If it's a nostalgia reason, I get it. But if it's something that's still coming out with new episodes and it's keeping up to date, I find it hard. But I'd be so curious to speak with a Power Rangers like contemporary fan and see if it is a nostalgia thing.
Yeah.
To see if it's. But the thing which makes me think it's not is that there's 24 seasons.
Yeah, that's so wild.
Which is like a long time of making a show.
Is it still, when was the last season, mate?
Was it 24? I don't know. I just saw that it said like a US, 24 seasons of a US show.
How many seasons of 24 do you reckon they'll make?
Well, they finished, didn't they? And they rebooted it with a black guy, I think.
Right.
And he's like an ex-soldier or something.
Is it still going?
I don't know. I think it just started this year.
Okay, cool. good sidebar.
Didn't they, like, bring back 24 and it didn't go for 24 episodes? And I don't know why it was called 24.
It was just called 8.
Yeah, it was seriously called, like, 24. Like, so, I don't know. John Boyega was in it.
I watched Iron Fist, the first episode of Iron Fist the other night. And you know how, like...
Are you allowed to talk about it not being good, despite working...
Yeah, the invoice has gone through. I've been paid for my...
Netflix, I'm going to ask for this money back?
Yeah, I don't think so. And, like, you know how, like... A couple of weeks ago, we were like, man, this has been the best year for content ever so far. Like everything, you know, we love the future albums. We love Zelda. We love the Switch. We love
Drake
Horizon.
Just dropped the playlist.
We love... That's not good either.
See, I like it. I can't wait to talk to you about it.
We'll get to that. we loved Legion. We loved Logan.
Yeah.
Basically, right now, what I'm doing is I'm gauging all content I consume as would I rather be watching this than playing
Breath of the Wild. Yeah.
And Power Rangers gets a big hell fucking no. Mm. Iron Fist, I actually played Breath of the Wild while I watched it, which was awesome.
From the get-go?
So I did, but I was just like, I know I've heard bad things about this first episode.
I think it's got something like 12% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh man, that's wild, fuck.
So Netflix might have a rethink, I'm thinking, about, because for some reason, you know, when Daredevil started, everyone was like, best comic book show ever, this is the best thing Marvel's done, and like, Season 2 was pretty good. The Punisher stuff was great, but the other parts not so good.
It's the worst ending.
Everything else they did was
just they've made the same show. Like, you know, like Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and Daredevil, they're too thematically similar.
Yeah.
Like, Jessica Jones had the same edginess that the other ones strive for, but it was a little bit... It was different enough.
Yeah.
And that ended very well. You know, that said, I haven't made it to the end of either Luke Cage or Iron Fist yet, but I do plan to... You know, I'm an idiot that wants to watch everything. You know what show got really fucking amazing in the last year? Is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So they did like a Ghost Rider with Robbie Reyes,
that's
the guy
right.
who drives it. That was really great. But then they brought in like an LMD subplot for like, so basically what they're doing now, you know how I always say like, it's so annoying how these Netflix series are 13 episodes at once. Mm-hmm. It's such a huge commitment. Fucking at least 6 of the episodes are going to be shit and boring and slow.
We know he's not going to put the costume on until the last half.
So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now break up the seasons into arcs of seven to eight episodes at a time.
Okay. So and it'll then, be like season then, 5 and then, yeah, story well, arc Ghost Rider.
Yeah. And so that went for 7 episodes. Then they had like 2 months off. They bring it back for 7 episodes. LMDs, the life
What's
model.
What's LMD? Oh, okay.
Life model decoys. So all like, you know, robots filling in for beloved characters. Or are they? Oh my God, everyone's a robot. It's terrifying.
Basically Battlestar Galactica.
And then when it comes back in late April, it's like this weird virtual reality program.
Okay.
That everyone's
that's
stuck
interesting
in.
Interesting way to do it.
Man.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I'm enjoying the fuck out of Agents of
S.H.I.E.L.D. So they don't have to and be like, we're doing a whole 24 episodes about this. They're doing like 8 episodes a time here, 8 episodes a time there.
Yeah. And it really feels broken up. Exactly. And it's super comic booky. It's really fast paced. The characters are like, you know, like there are plenty of them. They're all doing something different. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I'm going to put this out there. Like, I really love Legion. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the best comic book TV
guys,
show
you heard it here.
Right now.
You heard it here, guys.
I'm not watching the DC stuff, so maybe I'm not. I can't actually go out on a claim. It's the best Marvel show.
I watched
right
the first 5 episodes, and I know that's
that first season is trash.
Yeah.
Until Winter Soldier happened, and it turns the show on its head. Then since then, it's been patchy to good. But this last season has been like
what season is it? 4 like or 5?
Straight A's for me. It's season 4.
Okay, cool, guys. Yeah. Season 4, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's fucking great. It's really fucking great. It's not a guilty pleasure anymore. It's just a pleasure. And
you just straight up like
we were trying to watch other stuff and I was like, let's just catch up with S.H.I.E.L.D. And watching these last 7 episodes, it was like putting on a pair of comfy shoes.
That's so good. It's good when you hit a stride with a series where like, you know the characters, you know their roles, you know what they're going to do, you know how they react to scenes, but you know them and that's what's great.
Yeah. I'm going to try and watch more of Iron Fist. Just apparently it gets good at episode 5, but at the moment it's good fodder to have on in the background while I, you know, max out my my costumes.
I mean,
Breath
really
of the Wild
says what it is, isn't it? Like a show that doesn't demand your full attention.
It was kind of fun to watch one of those, to be honest. Because I only watch ones that do. Like, you know, Legion, you have to watch every fucking second of because it's so crazy.
See, I can't not play Zelda and do something else. Like, I have to play Zelda exclusively.
Yeah, I was doing like potion making and like leveling
like
up on my
grinding
costumes,
stuff.
Just grinding stuff. Well, it was perfect
that's perfect for Iron that, Fist. For sure.
Should we talk about Zelda quickly before we go?
Let's just say the last thing we did.
Okay, you go first.
So, I found a hidden shrine by discovering what looked to be, well, later I confirmed it was, the Mirror of the Twilight from Twilight Princess, and had to locate 3 shards of it. And that was a very cool little nod to, you know, ye olde game, but one that didn't, you know, it still worked if you didn't know the game, which is a nice nod. And then I also just remembered I just got the Master Sword as well today.
Mad, me too.
Yeah.
Last week.
Which is great.
I bought a house.
That's so good. No, I'm talking about Zelda.
And then,
then I bought a zoo.
In Zelda, I bought a house and I've got it kitted out with every furnishing I possibly could. And
where do you get the furniture from?
This guy makes it for you. And you have to pay him 100 rupees every time he makes something for your house.
So you're basically playing Animal Crossing right now.
That's what I've loved the most about Breath of the Wild, that these weird like Animal Crossing-esque moments, the bug collecting, the fishing, the, you know.
Have
even
you
the
gone fishing?
Well, like you just jump in the water and still fish.
I don't think you can go fishing in this.
No, I don't care. That's fine.
But that's so weird. It's such a...
It wouldn't make sense. I like that you can just catch them when you're swimming.
Yeah.
I think those moments that, you know, now like owning property and now I'm helping a guy who helped build my house. He's trying to start his own town. So I'm trying to help him start his own town. It's fucking great fun. This is a game that I never want to stop playing.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be stopping for months.
I'm probably going to try and 100% it. I don't know if I want to pick up all those dumbass Korok seeds.
You know, once you hit like, poo. You know, when you do everything else, you'll want to.
Yeah, I know.
I want 100% it, like super bad.
I definitely want to do every single shrine. And like some of the harder to find, like the shrine quests. And like I did the like classic Zelda flying through a waterfall and finding a shrine behind one of them.
Oh, no way.
Like so many cool surprises. And then have you landed in like weird challenges? Like you land on like an island or a small part of land, and it's like a voice comes over and says, like, you know, traveler, you have to do this challenge and you'll be rewarded.
An island that a lot of the NPCs have been telling me about it recently, Eventide Island. I do not.
I've done Eventide Island. Was it hard? That was the highlight of the game for me so far.
Wow, was it fun though?
Super fun. That's what I said. It was the highlight of the game.
So the highlight of the game. Sorry, what did I say? The hardest part of it.
No, highlight of the game. Yeah, yeah.
Was it hard?
I died once doing it.
Yeah, so no, that's like.
And then yeah.
Is it kind of like Castaway?
It fucking is. It's cast. It's like Zelda does Castaway. And it feels reminiscent of Link's Awakening, because you wake up on a beach with no shit.
Did you have to sail there or no?
Yeah, you have to sail there. I love how you sail with the Korok leaf and just the abandoned boats.
Do you know about a little cheat on sailing?
No, what is it?
So you put a metal item at the end of the boat on the side, on the other side of the sail where like the wind isn't pushing.
Yeah.
And then you stand back on the back end of the boat, fire up that magnet. It like pulls you forward like a speedboat.
Oh, that's
boat.
Awesome.
Yeah, I saw someone doing it.
Fuck, this is a cool game.
Yeah, and like it's not incorrect. Like you're allowed to do that if you want.
Yeah, or you're the physics in this game is so crazy.
Yeah. They're not like the Snipperclips physics, like, to be honest. Which is probably like the best.
Okay, Tommy Dassolo.
But no, I'm just joking. But yeah, the physics are wild in this game.
How many minutes do you reckon Tommy Dassolo's played as Snipperclips?
I can tell you.
A few.
It was a few minutes.
We can... Tommy Dassolo is our good friend who hosts, one of the hosts of Filthy Casuals, hosts a video game podcast without playing very many video games. And because of the Switch, you can now track how many hours...
On your friends list.
All your friends have put into games. And Tommy won't stop going on and on about how good Snipperclips is. And Angus has a screenshot. And Tommy's played a few minutes of Snipperclips.
It's definitely cash for comment at this stage. Like, I just have to accept that. And... You know what? Well done. Well done. He's getting Nintendo money.
And he sends like the same compliments about the game verbatim to both me and Angus, but like days apart. Anyway, I don't know why we're telling you this. It's just very weird things. But I feel like he's part of AFM canon.
It's so
little Tommy
weird.
Updates.
It's so great. It's so good. I thought that was really funny.
You can follow him online, facebook.com/realegghours.
Yeah, his official fan page. Official if fan you want page. To see him do stand-up or something, yeah, I guess just go there.
Perfect
and
place to go.
See him do his icy pole bit, you can go there.
Well, Angus, it's been a real episode today.
It's been great.
It was fun to watch a movie that I wasn't invested in whatsoever with you.
Yeah, I felt like it was great to go. Like, I'd love to just go see more random movies that aren't stuff that you and I have to see or we'll like die.
Yeah, I want to go see Beauty and the Beast. That was That was the other movie that premiered tonight.
I would do The Fate of the Furious as well. Like, I'm busting to watch
that.
Yeah,
fuck. You know, I haven't seen any of the good Fast and the Furious movies.
We should watch them.
Because it's from Fast 5 onwards that it's the shit, right?
Yeah, some say 4 because 4 is when the director who did 5 first started.
Right.
But 5 is definitely it. And that's because it was a script for... At the time, it was going to be The Rio Job, and it was a sequel to The Italian Job.
Right.
And then the studio was like, let's just change it to Fast and Furious. And then all of a sudden, they're now like basically spies. Like, they're not just dudes stealing DVD players.
The trailer for that new one looks fucking batshit insane.
How is it that Charlize Theron and Helen Mirren are in it? Like,
it's so good.
And Helen Mirren campaigned to be in it.
Yeah, but apparently they'd finished filming and they put her in post or something. It's ridiculous.
Amazing.
Yeah,
Kurt Russell's like, it's the best cast now.
Yeah, I love Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell's a real one.
He's going to be so good in Guardians 2.
Are you pumped for Guardians 2?
Because of Kurt Russell, I guess.
I'm pumped for it just because of I completely love the cinematic version of them. I think that I love the director.
Yeah, I need to watch Guardians of the Galaxy again because I think I had such high expectations for it the first time that I left disappointed. But I know for me it was just like none of the jokes landed. But I feel like, you know, superhero movies, it doesn't really matter.
I honestly think it's one of the best lived in universes I've seen since the Star Wars.
I'll agree with you there. Yeah,
like
the universe
is great.
Amazing.
I just loved how so many different aliens were there and it just looked different and things were strange. Like, yeah, it's hard to see like a good lived in universe now.
The collector who's in Guardians had a really great moment in
Benicio.
Unworthy Thor issue 5 this
oh,
week
wow.
in Marvel Comics. Great, great, great run, everybody.
Great run.
Jason Aaron's the best.
Jason Aaron is good.
You can hear us review it next week on Serious Issues, which is another podcast I do. Another podcast I do is called The Mitchin. We are back in full force, baby.
Three podcasts.
We're making videos as well. It's
guys,
crazy.
They left podcasting. they're leaving that realm behind.
But you know,
straight up videos.
I gotta be honest. My favorite podcast to do each week, Angus.
Is it really? You're not just saying that?
Serious? No. Hey fam. Hey fam. I fucking love Hey fam.
Dude,
Hey
sure? fam.
It's just a window into our friendship that I love to do.
I think it's really sincere. It's my favorite too. It's just like it's me at my most me. Like this is me.
Yeah. What's the other disgustingly inferior podcast that you do?
The Greenlight Boys, where I'm not me. I play a. It's kind of weird. I still go by Angus, but I guess it's like the Stephen Colbert thing. Like,
right.
This is me in Tonight Show, Stephen Colbert.
Alt-right Angus, trust me.
And then that's the alt-right. Yeah, and I've realized it is like super, like an alt-right character. It's not who I am. And sometimes like after we do it, we're like, should we really put that one out this week? Like, yeah. But no, we do. It's not really me though. But it uses my name. It's very good. I just realized it's like very confusing.
What was the last fake movie you pitched?
We do a franchise in the Greenlight Boys called the VIPs, which stands for Very Important Presidents, and in it it imagines a world where the president of the USA is Usher and the vice president is Ludacris, but they're also the top CIA agents. Like they don't have a secret service, they are the secret service.
Incredible.
And it was number 5, called VIPs 5 Foreign Relations, and the tagline was, I now pronounce you president, husband and president. And they accidentally get tricked into getting married by the Russians. And then they have, even though under the Trump administration, they don't believe in same-sex marriage and they have to try and get out of it and stuff and show that marriage is only between a man and a woman while also working on the case together. It was pretty, it's pretty great. And Billy Zane's the senator that always tries to set them up for some reason.
Classic Billy Zane.
Yeah. So yeah, if you want to listen to horse shit like that.
You can find all of those podcasts online, wherever you listen to podcasts. Actually, I'm still waiting to hear back from Stitcher about Serious Issues and Mitch and being on there.
Is HeyFam on there?
HeyFam's on there.
Why isn't...
For some reason, they won't let me upload.
That's right.
We
put them on ages ago. Yeah, it's been on Stitcher forever. What
Stitcher,
am I talking about?
Get your shit together.
Get your shit.
Stop being Stitcher.
That's so weird. I thought it was like an auto submission. I thought you gave him a feed and ads. Crazy. Look, if you're enjoying what we do, or even if you don't, just lie and say you are. And we really do love iTunes reviews. I know this is like a super vapid thing to say, but because I'm not being the alt-right me, please leave us some positive
Genuine
reviews.
Angus.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is cool. If you like listening to this friendship that's legit friendship and not, you know, piggybacking off each other like maybe some other podcast do, I don't know. Then leave us a review. This is some real shit.
How many reviews have we got at the moment? We got 52.
That's pretty good.
New 52 reviews, but we want to make it. Let's get 69 reviews and then we'll stop asking for reviews.
Yeah, then we'll stop asking.
So yeah, just go tell a joke.
Tell a joke. Tell us, if you were a Power Ranger, what would you morph into?
Last review we got was someone called Sneaky Gypsy the Third.
Yikes.
Last month said, highlight of my Friday, even though this episode's going to go up on a Thursday. Love these guys. They are the Patron of podcasting. Sweet Baby Angels times 2. Dynamite hot takes. Love their movie chat. Listen, you'll love it. Thank you.
Sums up this episode, doesn't it?
Really does.
Speaking of hot takes, you said we'll speak about Drake's playlist. Should we say that for next week?
Yeah.
Because I think I need to let it sink in because it's an hour and a half.
Yeah, I need to listen to it more than half a time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to do. It's getting at the moment better reviews than views.
I really liked Views.
I know, you
were
and I were
minority
Views fans.
There,
no,
we?
I really liked Views.
Yeah. I would rather talk about other albums as well. Maybe we should do a little music update next week.
There is a minority of Hey Famers who do ask us to talk about music. And we really like music. We just do not talk about it on here. Because
let us know. If you listen this far and you're like, oh, I listened this far because I hope they're going to talk about this kind of thing.
Yeah,
and they didn't.
Know.
What do you want? You want more music talk? You want more,
talk music.
More book talk?
You know,
we don't read much of them. Well,
no.
Do you honestly just do dedicated Zelda for the rest of the year?
We're open.
All it would take would literally be one person saying, I want that, and we'd just do it.
Yeah. Has everyone, I asked you this earlier, but I'm just going to ask it now on the podcast. Has everyone you've shown the Switch to who was kind of curious, everyone's been like, oh, that rules?
Yeah, I haven't seen anyone that's been like, oh, this is fucking shit.
Yeah, like, it's kind of like when the Wii came out, right?
Hardcore you showed Xbox stands, you'd be like, oh, this is good tech. Like, it's real good.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it reminds me when the Wii came out and people had to go Wii
this
bowling.
This is so much cooler than the Wii.
No, I mean, at the time,
yeah,
like, imagine
sure.
like the setting and it was like the Wii came out. And I was like, I can't believe this is it. That's so cool. Like, it's, I don't know.
You know what convinced me to get a PS2 was seeing someone play Buzz, the
game,
the like yeah like the TV
game show thing,
the game show.
Wow,
I was like, this is amazing. I played so much Buzz. I used to have like straight up, I would have 8 people over to my house
just to play Buzz.
Yeah, Buzz and SingStar.
Who was the host on it?
Oh,
because they localized it, didn't they? And it was
like
Australian.
One of the guys that got married on on Neighbours, who married
Craig McLaughlin.
I think it was Craig McLaughlin.
He married Kylie Minogue.
Yeah, I think it was Craig
Charlene
McLaughlin.
Charlene and
Shane. Yeah, that sounds right.
So they localized it, didn't they? It wasn't just an Australian game, was it?
No, of course not.
Funny that like Craig McLaughlin hosted game show got you a PS2.
Now that you're saying it, I don't think it was Craig McLaughlin. It was someone of that ilk. Let us know. HeyFanPodcast@gmail.com.
If you were the host of Buzz, would you hang out with us? Oh, can I? I was thinking about this the other day. Remember like last year, Cheese TV got really big on Facebook?
Yeah, and we wrote to them just before they got too big on Facebook.
Yeah.
And they wrote back to us like, yeah, we'll do Hey Fam.
And then have they imploded?
I don't know. What's going on with Cheese TV?
Yeah, Jade and Ryan, if you're listening to this, let us know. Because I just remember last year, your Facebook being absolutely crazy with hits. And like crazy engagement, crazy posts. People loving you guys. You guys were doing weird ass appearances at like the Factory Theatre and stuff.
Whoa. And then did it implode?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's dropped out of my feed.
They're still posting. Cheese TV official account.
How many likes is it getting per shit?
Oh, they haven't. Yeah, a couple of days ago, they did a post that said, every Aussie kid owned these books in the 90s, and it's The 11th Hour and Animalia by Graham Bass.
Yikes.
It got 3,900 likes.
All right.
They're doing fine.
Look, until they get pop vinyl figures of themselves, I'm going to agree to disagree.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Hey Fam. You can find us facebook.com/HeyFamPodcast. Angus can be found at Chimichangas.
He's got a great comment on a photo of us at
Oh, wow.
Power Rangers.
One of your parents' friends, is it?
Yeah.
She said, I love you. I just wish I understood you.
Kind of like could be a good name of one of our biographies.
Definitely. You can find me online at Levdog, LEVDOWG. Thank you so much for listening. Oh, we'll see you.
Another thing, if you could find us, if Nintendo, the only misstep is they used friend codes again.
Oh, yeah, totally. We'll
be giving out our...
We'll give out our dumbass friend code next week.
We're not Billy and we're not on the spectrum and don't remember that number. But why don't we post them? I was thinking we'll just post them on the Hey Fam page.
Maybe yeah, Switch people. Add us on Switch so we can...
So we can see if you've played more Super Clips than Tommy Dasilo.
Fuck, that should be the challenge of every Hey Fam listener to play.
I'm
going to
check now, actually. Should we see how much he's played?
How far away is your Switch?
It's right there. I'm just getting the remote.
Oh, right. See, Switch means it's a portable device. It's not a... that's another cool fact that you get because you listen this far into the episode.
Yeah.
I play my Switch predominantly portable. Angus is a console boy.
Yeah, I'm like 60% to 40%.
I reckon I'm like 90% portable to 10% on the television.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's only because I played real late the first few nights.
Oh, all right, so we're about to see how much...
This is riveting stuff.
This is crazy. I don't know. We'll keep this in there, won't we?
Yeah, of course we are. This is like I don't want to edit shit. I hate editing.
We never edit Hey Fam. It's uneditable.
Yeah, you could miss some of the best things we've ever
said. Then it just sounded too smooth. Like...
I don't think we've ever suffered from being too smooth.
Oh, here we go.
Tome offline right now. He's played for 25 hours of Zelda. I think I'm well into my 60th hour. He has still only played Snipperclips for a few minutes.
This is week
two. The cunt has talked to me about Snipperclips.
I guarantee you he's getting paid to talk about it because this doesn't lie. He's
Fucking hell, this guy is insane.
This is amazing.
The absolute madman himself.
This is hilarious.
Has spoken to me about Snipperclips over 10 times on Facebook Messenger. He's played a few minutes.
This is incredible. This is definite cash for comment shit.
Wow, so you've played for 55 minutes or more of Zelda. I wonder, where's my Switch?
Yours is 50. I just checked
that. Oh, you checked? Wow.
Yeah.
So you've played more than me at this point.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to beat you, cunt.
Huh?
I mean, I've been telling everybody I'm up to 60.
You're lying. You're just being a Tommy Dasilo.
I know. Fuck. Anyway, thank you for listening this far. If you listen this far...
Now you have to leave a review.
Now you have definitely have to review. Unbelievable stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. We surely enjoy...
We love doing
every
this.
Every listener, every download.
And we always say to the end, we're going to do a live show soon. We are.
We will. We 100% will.
It's going to be so close to my work. It's great. We're going to have an after party at Triple J.
Oh, man. It's a great idea. They'll hate it.
Yeah. We'll get fired. So, no.
Until next week, fam. Enjoy your morning.
Enjoy it. Hey! Bam! 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 Bam!
Hey, this is Levins. Thanks so much for listening to Hey Fam. If you're not completely sick of my voice, why don't you go and check out one of my other podcasts? One of them is called The Mitchin and is all about the Sydney food and bar scene. And the other one is called Serious Issues and it's all about comic books. If you get angry that Angus and I don't talk about comic books anymore, it's because all I do is talk about comic books at Serious Issues. So go there instead. You can find both of the podcasts on iTunes or download them directly at yolevins.com/podcasts. Thanks so much for listening and for your support, and I'll see you next week.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.